Maseches Chulin has been dedicated in honor of Leslie Westreich, Elazar Meir ben Harav Yehoshua, a great chavrusa and friend. The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
I'd like, as an introduction to this shir, to share with you an interesting exchange that one time heard between two poskim, two great poskim in Yerushalayim. Were discussing a learning program and a new kollel that was opening up, a kollel that was planning on mastering the halachas, the intricate halachas of taruvus, of bas v'chalav, of isvanter, in achieving smicha, becoming rabbanim. And the question was how to plan the program. Should they learn first what's called taruvus, hilchas taruvus, which discusses all sorts of dvarim asurim, achilas asurim, falling into, or getting mixed up with kosher food, or should they learn first the halachas of bas v'chalav? One of the Rabbanim said that you can't be smarter than the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Kairo, and he put Bas Mechala before Taruvus. The other Rabbi answered him a very interesting tshuva, which is very illuminating in what I'd like to discuss in this shir. What he said is that it could very well be that the Shulchan Aruch sets up Bas Mechala before Taruvus. The reason for that is very simple. Most of the shayos that are asked to Rabbanim, most times Jews don't have chelev or bugs or nevelo or treif falling into pots in their kitchen. It just usually doesn't happen. More common is the classic basav chalav shalas. Basav chalav shalas of fleshig spoons getting mixed up with milchtik forks, taking by accident a milchtik ladle or pile of a ladle and stirring soup that's on the pot. Cutting onions with a fleshig knife and then using them for a milchtik soup and so on and so forth. Most of the shaylos practically that come up in a rov's profession, a rov's career, are bas v'chalav. The mechaber is a halacha sefer. Shulchan Aruch is a halacha sefer. Therefore, we put bas v'chalav first. However, conceptually, the bas v'chalav is based on a proper understanding of the concepts of tam ki ikir, bittul b'roiv, Haloich Basarayv, and so on and so forth, which we've discussed in a few previous shurim. Then, after one masters the concepts of Taruvis and all the halachas of Machol Sasuris mixed into kosher food, then one could hear where Basav Cholov has its own sort of marches to the beat of its own drum. Basav Cholov has its own set of problems and own set of halachas, benigud, in opposition to all other Machol Sasuris. So the proper way to learn when one is trying to master the concepts is to learn Taruvus first and then Bas V'chalav. If you look in the Rambam, the halachas of Taruvus are before Bas V'chalav, because the Rambam doesn't set things up in terms of how he asks. The Rambam is a conceptual sefer. It's a chazorah on all the concepts in Kol HaTorah, which is why it's hard to paskin halacha. The Rambam sets things up with a conceptual structure and not so much of a halacha l'maisa structure. Sometimes the Shulchan Aruch puts two totally separate halachas right next to each other for the very simple reason that they usually come up in the same setting, in the same kitchen, that this would take place, that would take place. In the Rambam, you never find that. The Rambam sets things up with a certain logical structure, and that's why there's so much diyukim and chidushim in the structural, in the finer nuances of the Rambam's lashon, because that is the underpinnings of what the Rambam is trying to do in the same. In any case, now that we've explained such a concept about Bas V'chalav being a Tosefes, taking the concepts of Taruvus to a new level, now we could explain what I believe is the main chiddush of Bas V'chalav, which makes the halachas of Bas V'chalav that much more complicated than Taruvus. And this is what's called in the halacha circles, the halacha of Chanan. Ches ayin nun nun chaticha atzmei nasis nevela. Chanan for short. Once you can spell Chaticha Nasis Nevela Ches Nun Nun, this is what it's called in the yeshivas, and this is the way the Poskim refers to it. What does this mean, Chaticha Nasis Nevela? This is the concept that's discussed Daf Kuf, Taisusin, Barichus, and in the Gemara, in Daf Kuf Ches, the Gemara Daf Kuf Ches talks about a pot of meat. There was some cholov, some milk fell on into a pot of meat. In this pot of meat, part of the meat was above sea level, and part was below sea level. What do I mean to say? there were pieces of meat that were sticking above the water that was bubbling in the pot, and therefore the cholov, the milk, fell straight onto one piece of meat. Before it got mixed up in the whole pot, it was in that piece of meat. Meaning, say, if milk fell onto the water level, take it from Yad immediately, it gets spread amongst all the pieces of meat equally, because water is the great equalizer in every pot. It spreads the wealth, it spreads the taste of whatever fell in all around. If you drop in salt or paprika into a pot of food, the taste goes around pretty quickly, pretty easily, especially if you stir it. However, if there's something sticking up, if you have a pot of chicken soup and one piece of chicken is sticking, like we said, above sea level, then the paprika that falls down goes into that chicken first. As I said, for the same price, the milk that falls onto the piece of meat that's sticking up will aser that piece of meat. You cannot use the shishim, the volume of meat that's in the whole pot, to be matter that piece of meat. So what happens is that piece of meat becomes aser. There's now a piece of meat here which is bona fide basar b'cholov. Now that piece of meat, which is tarfus, which is pure basar b'cholov, has the koyach to aser of the rest of the pot, unless you have 60 pieces of meat connected to that piece. Very problematic, because usually you don't. Again, if the milk goes straight into the pot, then it gets equally mixed up, and then there's shishim usually in the pot connected a little bit milk that fell in, unless there was a whole cup of milk that fell. Usually in a big pot, you'll have 60. If there's a little bit meat or a little bit cheese that fell on one piece of meat, usually there won't be shishim kenegad cholov. That piece of meat becomes aser. We then have what kicks in is known as chaticha atzmoi nasis nevela. The chaticha, that piece of meat itself becomes a piece of tarfus. The cholov no longer has to aser up the rest of the pot to the tune of 1 in 60. Meaning to say, we don't need there to be cholov, we don't need there to be milk at a greater ratio of 1 to 60 to aser up the whole pot. We need there to be 60 connected that piece of meat, because that piece of meat is, so to speak, itself tarfus. You now have to be mevatel for shishim. The taste is no longer distinguishable, no matter. Chaticha atzmo nasis nevedo. That piece of meat became also by itself. Now, according to Roiv Rubam of Rishonim, again, Roiv Rubam of Rishonim, there is a Das Hamiut, which is very difficult to understand, but the basic consensus amongst all the G'dayli Rishonim is that this concept applies only by Basar B'cholov, Midaraisa by Shari Surim. If a piece of Chelev fell on a piece of meat sticking above sea level, in a pot above the water level in a pot, it would not need 60 connected that piece of meat. You would only need 60 ultimately when everything gets mixed up connected the chaylev that fell in the first place. Midrabbonon could be, we say, chanan vashay. So we're not going to get into the drabbonon right now. What's midrabbonon is midrabbonon. They assert because most times when things fall in, like we said, it's basar cholov, not shari surim, not chaylev, not orla, not klaya kerem. So by all the unusual cases, we make it like the usual case of basar cholov, we ask of everything. But the concept, midaraisa, of chaticha atzmi nasis nevela, makes sense only by basar cholov and not by shari surim. Why? The Rishonim are masber as follows. And this takes us to what we call the new level of complication of basar b'cholov above and beyond the confines of machlokes asus that we've discussed till now. The basic concept of basar b'cholov is that when a piece of meat gets an infusion of taste of cholov, the meat itself becomes awesome. It's not the pshat that I'm not allowed to eat a piece of meat that has a taste of cholov. Cholov and basar that get cooked together, the cholov asses the basar, and the basar itself becomes a dvar issa. What I'd like to do is, I'd like to understand the shakl v'tayah of the Gemara in Daf Kuf Ches. The Gemara, in the beginning of the Gemara, right after the mission of Tipas Cholov and Kuf Ches and Aleph, Abaya proposes learning out from a droplet of milk that fell into meat. Why does it ask him? Because it has a taste of milk in the meat. We see from there tamkeker midaraisa. Tamkeker, again, we discussed in a previous year back in the Tzadiks, that tamkeker is a concept that the Rishonim struggle with. Some hold the Raisa, some hold the Rabbana, there are different ways of understanding. Abaya proposes a new source, and there's all sorts of sources, in Psachim, and Nozim, and Chulim, for where we learn out that love of tamkeker from. Abaya says we learn it from Basar B'cholov. Why does Basar that a droplet of milk fell into become Asar? Because the taste of Cholov Asar is Basar. That's tamkeker. Rabbi says no. Rava says basa b'cholov, it's not asa b'cholov, it's only asa if it gets cooked together. What happens if basa b'cholov would be stirred together? Where the basa b'cholov become mixed up into one mass, and every time one would drink a little bit from the milk that the meat dissolved into, he would taste a little bit of meat. It's not basa b'cholov midaraisa. Midarabanan it's asa. Midaraisa it's only asa derech bishul. If that's true, says Rava, we can't learn out from there tam kekem midaraisa. What does this all mean? Abaya understood the basic principle of cholov falling into a pot of meat and passing the pot of meat in a very simple way. Abaya understood that what that's telling us is that the same way chaylev would ask for a pot of meat, cholov, milk that is, ask is also a pot of meat. Doesn't answer chicken soup, it doesn't answer, I'm sorry, doesn't answer fruit soup or vegetable soup. It answers meat, gzeres hakos. If that's true, then what we see over here is that when something is nikur b'taymai, when you could taste ingredient A in dish B, then dish B becomes also because of the taste. Taste answers a pot of food. The same way, chaylev, falling into vegetable soup, the taste of chet is distinguishable in the vegetable soup. What I said, that vegetable soup, that's what Abaye said. Rabbi was mechadish, no, that's not what's going on over here. Basar and cholov does not mean that cholov, the taste of cholov in basar, is asus the basar. Rabbi was mechadish, that there's, cholov is a dvar heter. Cholov itself you're allowed to drink. Basar itself you're allowed to eat. If they were sitting the whole day, he says, itaru kuli yoyma. If basar and cholov were sitting all day, you had milk and you had some meatballs dissolving for a week straight in a cup of milk, and with every sip of milk you taste meatballs midaraisa, it wouldn't be awesome. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having the taste of meat in milk, or vice versa. If cheese got mixed up in a pot of meatballs, there would be absolutely nothing wrong. As long as it's cold, there would be nothing wrong, or stirred together, as long as it's not cold, there would be nothing wrong with having the taste of cheese in meatballs. It's not the taste that asks. You can't learn out from here any principle of taste. It's not the taste that asks. What does asks? Says Rava, the Torah said there's a new chemical compound. The same way, if you'd be a mad scientist and you would mix certain ingredients, you had a, when we were kids, we had those laboratories, those do-it-yourself experiment things. And if you mix two things together, sometimes they bubble. And in the proverbial mad scientist story, there's certain things, if you mix them together, the whole house explodes, you know? It's a chemical explosion. The Torah said that basar b'cholov, if they're mixed together in a certain way, i.e. bishul, mixing those two together creates a new chemical, a new compound, which is a dvar iser. Cholov is mutter. Basar is mutter. The taste of basar and cholov is mutter, and the taste of cholov, and the taste of basar and cholov is mutter. Both of them are mutter. What's asr is basar and cholov cooked together becomes a new mitzius. It's a new mitzius called basar and cholov. When we were in yeshiva in Kalu, we used to call this beis ches for Rosh Hashanah, basar and cholov. We called this a new dvar iser. It's not basar, it's not cholov. It's called babach, beis chol. Babach is a dvar iser. Basar is not asr, cholov is not asr. Both of them are mutter. The taste of cholov and the basar is mutter. Taste of basar cholov is mutter. What's asr is the new compound called basar b'cholov, babach, that was created derech bishul. The same way in the science lab, you don't just mixing them together with a spoon would not asr, would not make the house explode. It's only if you heat it to a certain level. It's only if you cook it. That's the gzeres hakosav. Pshat? I don't know. Obadoshte. It's a gzeres hakosav that basar b'cholov mixed together creates a new mitzvah, a new dvar iser called basar b'cholov. If that's true, then we understand that there's a halacha of chaticha atzim nasis nevela. It's not the infusion of cholov ultimately mixed up into the whole pot of meat that makes the whole pot of meat also. No. When the cholov goes into that first piece of meat, which was sticking above water level, that piece of cholov became mixed together with the basar, a shtikl nevela, chaticha atzim nasis nevela. It became a dvar iser. It's a new compound shel iser. There's a new iser called basar chatichas basar b'cholov. That chaticha has a koyach to infuse taste into, fuse its taste into a whole pot until there's a ratio to the tune of 1 to 60. Until you have 60 in the whole pot keneged the chaticha that became aser. It's the same way a piece of chela falling into a pot in 60. A piece of babach, a piece of this new compound is called bas b'cholov, now because is also will also up a whole pot until you have 60. In regular Yisurim, this doesn't make sense. In regular Yisurim, there's no new compound. Chelev is Aser, and vegetable soup is Mutter. Orla is Aser, and fruit soup is Mutter. If the Chelev falls into a pot of vegetable soup, the problem is one tastes the Chelev. If the Chelev would, let's say, touch a big piece of squash that was sitting on top of the vegetable soup, that piece of squash became Aser, right? Didn't get all mixed up, there's no 60 in the squash connected to the piece of Chelev, the squash became Aser. Shayim. Now you give a stir, and the squash goes below water level. Everything gets mixed up, the taste spreads out in all different directions. Now you can't taste the chelev anymore. There's no taste of chelev, finished. That's the whole Indian. You need 60 to get rid of the taste. But over here, what you need is 60 to be mevakel, the unlucky piece of meat that became also in the first place. Chaticha atzen asas nevela. So this concept has no mashmos, has no meaning. This is basal cholov, a few steps beyond the iser of shari sur. This is lechayr the way. This is lechayr pshat rov, and this is lechayr the halacha v'ticha asinas nevel according to Rav Yishayin. Now, there is a very chashuv machlokes v'shayin, which expresses itself in many different ways in practical halacha. I'd like to discuss a few of them. This is the colossal machloikis between the Ran and between the Tosfos on Daf Kuf Yud Beis. The Tosfos on Kuf Yud Beis, it's the Tosfos Dibra Maskel, on the bottom of Kuf Yud Beis and Manal of Trey Gloli. This video over there is actually dealing not with Basa B'cholov, it's dealing with there was a pot that was used for meat that was dripping and the blood dripped out. The meat hadn't been salted, it didn't undergo malicha, and the blood dripped to the bottom of the kli, and then the salt was washing out the blood. The shaila is how far to take the taste of the blood, to hasar of other things. A whole complicated thing, and daf kuf yud beis min alef. But b'teich advarim, Tosfos says that it's clear that even though we say chaticha atzmi nasis nevela, and we don't need that there should be a distinct taste of chalav. Like we said, once that chalav asses up that first piece of meat, then you need 60 connected that piece of meat. I don't taste the taste of the milk. It doesn't make a difference. Once, Tosfos says, once there's a little bit, a drop of chalav, once there were chalav asses up that first piece of meat, if we have a mixture of basav and chalav, that's a dvar iser. If we have in the whole pot, even one drop of cholov, then that will aser, that piece of meat being aser up the whole pan until it was one keneged 60, if there's one drop of cholov, because if there's one drop of cholov, it's still basav cholov. Ah, you don't taste it anymore. There's no bitl on basav cholov. Basav cholov is not a teruvis of heter falling into iser. It's a new mitzius, and that new mitzius had to be lechatchila one keneged 60, because that is, like the Gemara says, derech bishul asur tayrit. That's the normal way of cooking two things together, is that one, A, you taste A in B, when you cook it in for taste. So the basa has to be cooked with cholov to the ratio of 1 to 60 in order to asur it. After that, one doesn't need a 60th of cholov to asur up all the meat. Since it's already basa of cholov, it's babak, it asurs the whole pot as long as there's still a mashu of cholov. Theoretically, and this is what's called in the Gemara, Efshel Asoich Pe Oser. It's impossible to get at every last, to squeeze out from the meat, every last bit of cholov. There's always going to be a mashu cholov in that pas of meat. The whole pot of meat, if it wasn't one keneged 60, will all be oser. Theoretically, if you could wring it out, that there would be no more cholov there, if you'd be able to use some type of magic vacuum cleaner and suck out all the cholov from this pot of meat, till now there's only meat, it would turn into heter. Because what's the name of the iser? The cheftza the isur, the compound iser, which is also is basan mixed together with cholov. There's no cholov here, there's no iser. This is what Tosfos on Kuf Yud Beis and Aleph says. The Ran has a massive arichus, which is the basis of most of the simonim in Hilchos Basan B'cholov. At least the first few simonim of Basan B'cholov are based on this Ran, long Ran. It's called the Ran of Tipas Cholov, which is on this sugya and Daf Kuf Tes. And the Ran disagrees with this Tosfos. He says that once cholov and basar are cooked together in a ratio of 1 to less than 60, then even if you would theoretically wring out all the cholov, the basar would still be awesome. Why? He says it's not the pshat. He disagrees with this whole interpretation that we said till now. This is the pshat of Tosfos and of Kuf Yud Beis. The Rad says that once they're cooked together, the pshat is that basar, we will magdim that only chelev or arlo, flakem, is very. There's nothing wrong with a cup of milk, and there's nothing wrong with a pot of macker of meatballs. Meat, kosher meat is not a dvarisa, milk is not a dvarisa. But, he says, that's not 100% true. There was mechadish, a chidish, that basar is a dvar iser when cholov goes into it, and cholov is a dvar iser when basar goes into it. Cholov has a din to become asr, the same way cholov from a camel is asr. Cholov is asr, which is given as a marshal, cholov is asr, milk is asr, a cup of milk is asr when meat was infused and gave taste to that milk. Meat is also, kosher meat is mutter, but kosher meat is also, when there is the taste, when milk was cooked in. Oibazari says, once the cholov was infused into the basa, and the basa was infused into the cholov, and both of them had a taste of each other, even if theoretically you were to wring out the basa in a way that they would chemically, there is no cholov malchus, there's no more milk in the meat, he says it would still remain awesome. Because it's not the taste. It's not the new compound taste of basar and cholov, the new compound of babach, which is awesome. He disagrees with this principle. He says that basar asers cholov, and cholov asers basar. Again, this is also the interpretation of Rava. Rava was mechadish, that's not the taste that asers. It's some type of halacha process, that cholov, when cooked in the basar, asers the basar. Basar, when cooked, asers the cholov. But it's a separate gzeirah kasher that's only by bishul. Therefore, it has not, absolutely nothing to do with the general rule of whether taste asers. There would not be any makor, the tam kikser midderais or not. This is somewhat of a conceptual machlokes between the Ran and between Tosfos. However, this machlokes plays itself out in halacha lemaisa, which is, if not one of the most common, probably the most common halachic dilemma presented to Rabbanim in Hilchos Basar Kol. And this is the sugya on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph of Nat Barnat. The sugya on Kuf Yud Aleph of an Aleph, again, Nat Barnat is a Rosh HaTevis. It stands for Noisim Tam Bar Noisim Tam. What does that mean? The Gemara, I like to read the Gemara inside, the Gemara Kuf Yud Aleph from the Beis, the Gemara towards the bottom. Not so much towards the bottom, the first wide line of the Kufir Alpha and Beis. Itmar. Dogim sha'alu b'kara. Fish was cooked on a frying pan which had a flay sugar taste. It was a flay sugar frying pan. It had fresh meat that was cooked in it. Now the frying pan agav was cleaned off, so there's no meat particles that are being, it's only the taste of the meat that was cooked an hour ago in the frying pan that was infused into the dogim. L'chor de fleshiga fish. Rav Omar, also lo'ichlam bikutach. Rav says one cannot eat this together with pudding, together with milchic pudding. The meaning to say, the fish becomes fleshig due to the fleshiga taste that was infused into the fish. It becomes fleshig. One cannot eat it together with milchiks. One cannot eat it together with something that had milk or cheese. Shmuel amar mutter la'oichlan b'kutach. Halacha is like Shmuel. Shmuel says one is allowed to eat it. Why? Shmuel says, Shmuel amar mutter noisim tam bar noisim tam hu. Meaning, say it literally, there's an asinus tam, there's an infusion of taste, bar, a secondary, it's like a son of another infusion of taste. The meat that was cooked in the frying pan infused taste into the frying pan. The frying pan thereafter infused taste into the fish. So Shmuel says that fish is not awesome. That fish is not fleshes. Again, according to Rav, whether one would have to wait 6 hours after is a separate issue, whether one has to wait 6 hours for something that has a meaty taste. If something was cooked in a fleshes pot, do you have to wait 6 hours? And I'm not going to deal now with the halacha of waiting 6 hours. In Pashas, you do not have to wait unless there was fleshig's bein, which means that you ate fleshig itself, not just the taste of fleshig, then you would have to wait 6 hours. But in any case, as far as eating it together with milchitz is concerned, we paskin, nat barnat is mutter. Now, the Ramban raises a conceptual problem here. The Ramban says this is a major problem. What's the problem? The problem is that even though we say there's secondary taste, does not have the koyach to render something fleshix. The secondary taste of fleshix, again, from the meat to the frying pan to the fish, and now the secondary fleshix taste in the fish does not have a koyach to turn to basav chol together with the kutach, with the pudding that was eaten together with it. The Ramban says that's all nice, the secondary taste of basar in the dog will not be transferred, the Ramban says. It means that the tam sheni, the nat bar nat, in the fish will not go into the kutach, will not go into the milchix to make the milchix fleshik, to asrit, turn it into basar v'chol. However, the milchix itself is a tam rishon. When one eats it together, one cooks the kutach together with the dag, one puts on top of a hot fish some of this kutach to give it a little bit of taste, that's for sure that the kutach itself, which is milchix, goes straight into the fish. The fish itself is fleshik. The fish is fleshix. It's only, the halacha of nat bar nat is only that the fish does not impart, infuse taste into the kutach. But the kutach, which is cheese be'ed, which is a tam rishon, will definitely impart taste in the fish. Why doesn't the fish become awesome? Zol zayin, it could be, let's assume that the kutach doesn't become awesome. But the fish should become awesome. There's a tam rishon of kutach in the fish, which has a fleshiga taste. It was cooked in a fleshiga frying pan. This is the Ramban's problem. The Ramban says something fascinating. The Ramban, this Mechadish, says basav cholov can't exist in a vacuum. You can't have the cholov, the kutach, that is, asering the fleshix, but the fleshix in the fish cannot aser the milchix. Basav cholov work together. Basav cholov have to work together. Why? Basav cholov is a new compound. They have to work in tandem. They turn into a new mitzius, a dvar iser, like we explained according to Tosfos, they turn into a new compound, a new chemical compound called babak, together. If only one infuses taste into the other, if only the kutach infuses taste into the fish, but the fleshix in the fish does not infuse, impart taste into the kutach, if it doesn't work both ways, it does not have this chalois iser called turning into a chaticha of nevela of basav cholov. Therefore, both of them are mutter. This is the Ramban. The Ramban clearly is going with Tosfos' reasoning, and the Ramban, based on this assumption, based on this yisoid, says a far-reaching nafkimina lahalocha. The Ramban says, if somebody would have this, that we say, that a tam sheni that's in the fish cannot impart taste to the cholov, the Ramban takes this a step further. He says, what happens if somebody was washing in a sink, a single sink with hot water, hot soapy water? Let's skip the soap. We don't need the graphics. Hot water. One is washing a fleshiga dish with fleshiga leftover gravy on it. And one is washing that together and by accident falls in a milchtik dish. And both of them are sitting in the hot water together. He says the leftover food on the fleshiga pot imparts into the water. And the milchtik imparts into the water, even though the bits of meat in the water, the bits of cheese in the water, meet each other in the water, at that point it's already a weakened tam. The basar in the water does not have a koyach to impart taste into the water, which is fleshix, and the fleshix in the water, which receives the fleshix, does not have a koyach to infuse taste into the milchix, therefore it's mutter. It's mutter. And this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. One can wash bekiyor echod in one sink, so to speak. One can wash fleshig dishes and milchig dishes. I bet you didn't know this. Why aren't we knowing this way? Because this is a dissenting opinion. It's also brought in Shulchan Aruch. This is the opinion of the Ran. The Ran and Kuf Yud Aleph argues vehemently on the Ramban. The Ran in his tradition in the back. And the Ran says, no. The Ran says that's bechlal, not the understanding of what's going on in Nat Bar Nat. Nat bar nat is not because the taste is weakened. I'm sorry, the Ran says, we don't say like the Ramban, that the fleshix that was imparted from the dirty dish that was in the sink imparts taste into the water. The water, which is fleshix, now goes onto the other sink. That was the Ramban's issue. The Ramban's issue was that the water, the taste that's of fleshix that's in the water should now go on to the dish, which is milchi, and should aser up the milchi dish, or The other way, the taste from the milchik dish should go into the water, and from the water it goes onto the flesh dish, or as is the flesh dish. He says no. He says since it's not working both ways, it's only the milchik taste which would answer the flesh dish, so it's only the other way, because it's either way, the water with a flesh taste attacking the milchik dish, or it's the water with a milchik dish attacking the milchik taste, attacking the flesh dish, but it's not working both ways, because at that point it's already a tam sheni. The Ram says that concept is not true. He says the only reason why not banat is mutter by the case of the fish is because the tam sheni, it's already weakened. It's already a tam sheni when it gets to the fish, it already dissolves. It doesn't have a shame tam anymore once it's in the fish. Tam sheni is not considered tam. You don't taste something. It's not called halachic. Halachically viable fleshy taste is not by tam sheni. If it only became a tam through something else, that's not called tam. However, over here we have a tam from the fleshik dish, a tam from the milk dish going into the water. The two tastes thereafter meet directly in the water, never became a tam sheni. They both jump into the hot water together, they meet in the water before becoming bottle. So he says that the two dishes cooked together, mixed together, washed together, are asr. They asr each other, both dishes will become asr, will need to go through Hagolas Kamer. The Ran says that the concept, he argues in the Ramban, he says it's not true that Basar and Cholam have to ask to each other simultaneously, like the Ramban says, that the kilu, the taste in the dish and the taste in the water have to ask to each other, and they can't, because the what's on the dish is a taste, which is halachically also. What's in the water is already by the time it hits the dish, is a tam sheni. They're not working to ask to each other. It would only be the dish that asks the taste in the water, or the other dish that has to taste in the water. But they wouldn't work together. He says it's not true. It doesn't, you don't need, basar cholov to create a compound isur. Basar asurs cholov, cholov asurs basar. This is the Ran l'shitasa. The Ran told us before, not like Tosfos. He says theoretically, even if you would squeeze out all the cholov from the basar, would still be asur. Why? Because basar that was cooked together with cholov is asur. Cholov that's cooked together with basar is asur. So he says over here also, even though there's the basar v'cholov process in the sink would only work one way, it would be also agav with sinks as a whole. What happens practically? Could you use one sink today? We all Baruch Hashem, all from Yidden, have two sinks. But in the good old days, they didn't design Jewish kitchens when there was only one kitchen. So there's a famous long tshuva in Igros Moshe where Moshe explains by Richus why he feels that's mutter to wash fleshig dishes and thereafter milk dishes in the same sink. It's a rather complicated and very lengthy tshuva. But in any case, as far as this issue is concerned, if they both fell into the same hot sink at one time, the Ramban is matter, the Ran asks the two dishes. Nice, you have a taste of basar and a taste of challah both being imparted into the water. At one time they join in the water, they become asr, and thereafter they ask both pots. So maybe you don't have the heter of not bar not. This is clearly the Ran, the Shittos, and the Ramban is going with the Shit of Tosfos, the way we explain the understanding of the principle of Chanan, of Efshel Sechte Osir, where even after the taste was left the Chatich Yisur, still the food becomes off.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.